Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, October 23rd. We had a great show last night on the attack on our website, obviously because of our book coming out. That was kind of interesting. Go back and listen to that show because a lot of good detailed information is there. And, of course, the investigation proceeds to find the guilty party, but we pretty much know who they are. So, anyway, that's life in a big city. So we will continue on with this nice tape right here. Dr. Bell, are you there? I know he's there. He's going to talk about time travel. Time travel.
The present. You can look at time as a comet, okay? And you can look at the now as, this is the present, as a comet. Back here, in the back of this comet, is the past. Okay? You can go back here and delete historical items, delete people, change things. But the only thing that you'll accomplish is basically nothing because the energy is centered here. So if you went back and assassinated Hitler, it wouldn't stop World War II because World War II happened and the whole world believes it. If you took the entire planet back to an event and changed it, now this would dissolve into that. And that's a hologram again. Now we come to the holographic aspect versus the eternal aspect of it. We go from the eternal, which has a past, to the infinite, which is present with omniscience and omnipresence. They don't figure they want to do that. They don't want to dissolve the human race. That would be like God going to sleep and forgetting to dream one night so humans wouldn't be in his thoughts. So he wouldn't be there. Okay, but they have gone in and they have changed the past. That's a second form of divine intervention. This occurred also.
What events have
happened? I don't know. They never told me. They just showed me how it was done and that was the end of it. And it scared the hell out of me. I get scared a lot with Andromeda. And pleadians were a lot easier to deal with. Now the future. What the future is a series of probabilities, and depending on the karma of a particular time and the dharma at a particular time, with the pressure of the present coming down on it, will determine which one of these probabilities, which one of these highways. So this determination, you could say right here is the physical plane. Okay? Over here is also the physical plane, but more of the 1, 2, and 3 ethers, which three etheric states on the physical plane, which I think is in the drawing right here. See, we got a solid, liquid, gas. And human thought and tendency to traditionally follow itself up to these higher pathways. If we were a bunch of cavemen in here, and I was telling you about these different planes, And I said to everybody in here, we have a solid. And you say, oh, yeah, that's very true. I know there's a solid. There's a chair. It's solid. There'd be no disagreement about that. If I had said there's a liquid, everybody would say, oh, yeah, that's liquid. There's water over there on the floor. You know? But then I would say, all right, gay people, you're in the room right now, but we got gas. There's gas here. They'd say, you're nuts. You know? There'd be no popular contention to the fact there's gas. But then I take some water and boil it and make some steam and it's floating around. Oh, gas. So pretty soon, everybody in here seen some gas. So now they'd all leave. You'd all leave and you go to all these other caves all over the world and you demonstrate, you do the same thing I went through and get the whole routine. And now everybody in the whole world believes there's gas because they've seen it. So that's a reality now. So that solidified that thought form now. So when people think of gas, they wouldn't have to have a demonstration with skepticism. They would now just think of it, and there would be enough gray matter in there. Oh, there's gas. Well, now there's the ionic state. Well, Madison has realized that the ions are here, you know. Negative ionizers are here to stay. Ionization occurs in the body and all metabolic processes. Now we're getting up to the third, second, and first ethers. What are those? Humanity, the bulk of humanity hasn't powered this up yet. But it's going to very quickly. Okay, what is ether? Ethers are states of consciousness existing, coexisting on the physical plane in a similar continuum, but slightly askew of the natural frequencies of the masses. So, what that means, that if I were in Glastonbury, England, and it was King Arthur's time, and there was a lake called Avalon Lake and an island over there in the middle of it, I get in this boat and I'm smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. I'd go across the lake in this state of consciousness, and I'd get out at the other side. I'd be at a Benedictine monkery where they're probably making wine, and there's a bunch of monks running around. Okay. On another day, I'd come down to the same lake, the physical plane, and I've been saying my prayers and blessing, and I've just taken an acid trip, and I'm all cleansed. I'm on a high plane. I'm grounded out, but really clear. I get in the same boat, go to the same place. I wouldn't even get to the Benedictine monkery. I'd end up at the White Witch village of Avalon, where Morgan Le Fay and all of them live. Okay? Same place, physical location, different space, different time, same location. Okay? That's the ethers. That has been hidden from us. Tomorrow I'll show you some of the equipment that we make that dispels that kind of... It's done in scan rates on television sets. It's done in point of sales in stores. It's done on billboards. It's things to blind you to what's really there. Okay? That's a cover-up. So, the second ether was up in Aspen one time. Sannyasi says, let's go for a walk. Okay, now, get this. I'm in Aspen, Colorado. I've gone all the way. She says, we're going to go for a walk. She has me drive all the way. It's 3 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning. It's in the middle of winter. It's 20 below zero outside. And she has me drive up to the end of a road up towards the Pyramid Peak and Bluebells. The road ends. Okay. There's nothing out there, but the moon is real bright. The road has ended because it snowed in over the pass for the whole year. She says, walk that road. You're going for a walk. So here I am with my boots on, 3 o'clock in the morning, hiking up a path that's 10 or 20 below zero outside on a hike with Sannyasi to show me something. I walked all the way up the top of this pass, which who knows how many miles it is. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning now, an hour and a half in snow. White wolves all over the place, you know, white ones, and I could see them, I could hear them. And she says, don't worry about them because you're not afraid. And I says, no, I better not be afraid because fear is what they attack, you know. And she got me all the way to the top of this hill, and she says, look. And in the twinkling of an eye, I was walking toward the south. Over here on the west, a huge, giant city appeared, twinkling lights, and a very beautiful city. And it's just on the next mountain over. And I says, I've never seen that before. She says, very few people have. It's in the second ether. It's a big holy city up here in Aspen. And this is the energy that causes people to come to Aspen. And you're seeing it. And she says, there's more cities like that around. And then she told me about Shambhala, you know, in the Gobi Desert, which is still there. And so this is what's going to come. These are going to start popping out pretty soon, you know. So there's a lot coming. And so this is very interesting stuff. We have a device that speeds up the process a little bit. Now, one other thing I wanted to cover real quickly is wearing a pyramid. Then we'll be out of time for today. When you wear a pyramid on your head, there's a reason for it. First of all, when you breathe air in, the air comes in, goes down into the lungs. When it gets to the lungs, it goes into the lungs, into the bloodstream, down into the heart, very large arteries. But then, when it comes up through the carotid artery into the base of the brain, the cerebellum, the size of the arteries in the cerebellum and the circle of Willis are very small. And so what happens is you have little teeny-weeny arteries. And so all this heavy blood with all those pollutants in it, when it arrives at the base of the brain acts like a strainer over a period of time. So you start getting a lot of sludge build up through your brain, midbrain, forebrain, base of the brain. Cerebellum goes, you can't balance anymore. People can't stand on one foot, touch the floor, come back. They just fall over. Remember how we used to play hopscotch back? A lot of people can't do that anymore because the balance is gone. It moves to the midbrain. The pollution moves to the midbrain. And now you get allergies. You get allergies that you've never had before. You become allergic to everything. And it reaches the forebrain. It shuts down the pineal pituitary gland and senility. It's the death hormone. So when you wear a pyramid on your head, it reverses all this. Detoxes all this comes out and goes down to the liver, which is the next stop after the brain. When it gets down to the liver can't usually handle it. A lot of people, especially if you've been a smoker, you get a tremendous headache after you've worn it for a while. So you have to take the pyramid off and then drink some water, take some vitamin C, and then wait till the headache goes away and put it back on again. And it took me a year to wear one of these more powerful pyramids. I smoked so much tobacco when I was at NASA. I used to smoke 2 packs a day. I mean, I was in there with them. I was one of the guys, you know. You work. One time we were working over there, we were late getting to the moon. We were late. And we were out trying to get to the moon there. And I was working on one of the Apollo missions. And we had to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we got Christmas off. We got 1 day off. That's a real schedule. I had to get tomead poison. I got poison off a coffee machine. I ended up in the hospital for a couple of days. That was my way of getting out of it. But we made a lot of money. But you know what? When you work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, you don't really care about money anymore. You know, you don't care about anything. You don't even know who you are or what you are. Man, I did it. I can't believe I did it. I did it. These kids today talk about stress on a job. Oh, man. So, you know, I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day, too. I mean, it was not a problem. I won't tell you how much coffee I used to drink. You know, naturally, I would have had, you know, varicose veins and have to wear support stockings. I mean, that was the light side of the deal, you know. Yeah, it was funny. So, anyhow, we're getting towards the end of the day here. We started late, so we went a little late. So, does my wife give you guys directions to how to get to our house and stuff?
No,
only you have to find your way.
Huh?
I'll give you a
map here.
Where's Crocodile? I don't know. She leave? You want to give the directions and everything now? We're done here.
She'll do it.
You'll really get lost when she gets done with you.
I can watch these directions and probably get lost going to my own house.
What are you going to do? Show them how to get there? You ought to have them come around 9 tonight. You know why? Because the sun doesn't set early enough now. This is summer. Yeah.
But what time is it dark?
It's about 8:30, quarter to 9.
Yeah, because 9 I mean, we've got to look at the crystal, 8:30.
Oh, they can come earlier, yeah.
8:30, and then, yeah, 8:30, we'll say 8:30.
Yeah, you get to see some master crystals and stuff tonight, which we use in our systems. Yeah, you can draw them now.
Okay, so we're on Coast Highway.
Where are we on Coast Highway?
And you will go south. And then there's a light at Cross Street, and it's called Nias Place. And this is the ocean.
How many blocks is it from Broadway?
And it's probably about 15 blocks or so.
18 blocks from Broadway.
18 blocks.
Broadway is where the canyon came in. Down where the two stations are.
Around where the main beaches and where the main ports are and all of that, and two gas stations on the left, so we'll be 18 blocks from there.
You know how I know? I got a map one time and counted them. I was curious. But there, it's about a mile and a half. And if you go too far, you'll pass Lucky's down there in South Laguna.
And the Unicol gas station.
The second Unicol station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to go past two of them. One's okay.
So it's 18 blocks from the mobile station?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you make a left, and you go all the way up the hill, and then this street will curve like this on top, and it will turn into Balboa. And you just continue on. And then you come to a couple of cross streets, I think, and then you come...
You turn left on Capistrano, which is the highest point in the whole hill.
And this is Capistrano.
It would be 1,100 feet above sea level when you reach that point.
And when you come Balboa, so you will turn left into Capistrano. That will lead you a little bit downhill, and then you turn left again into Santa Ana now.
Which is the second street.
And Santa Ana Street is 891 Santa Ana. But that, you won't see the house number, actually.
You'll see a big pyramid on a stand.
You'll see a pyramid on a stand.
You'll see the pyramid. Follow, look for the big pyramid. Mm-hmm. It's a Laguna Beach landmark now.
And that's the house. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
If for some reason you do get lost, you can use this number here to call. For tonight. 499-5940. So if you get lost or anything happens,
so it's the left on Capistrano and then right on Santa Ana.
No, left on Santa Ana, too.
Two left. Left on Capistrano and left on Santa Ana again.
Three left from
and here. Left on Meyerson. So you always go left. So, and so you can come between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, you know, in there, because from 8:30 to 9:15 till it gets dark, you'll look at the crystal, you can see the fire stuff set up, but it's the same thing with the fire stuff. System as well, the lasers and everything, you know, while it's daylight, you can't see that. And that's it for...
I guess so.
So then we're done for this afternoon, and so if any of you would like to be tested for the receptors, if you have any additional questions, you can do that now before we... all will break here if you feel a need. And then we'll see you at 8:30. In the meantime, there are a lot of great restaurants in Laguna Beach, so all depends. You can ask us individually. I mean, we have from Chinese to Italian, you know, I mean, everything. So just let us know. We'll tell you where to go.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you go up Temple Hills, Park Avenue, which is right by the high school there, that's the point where I used to meet with.
Oh, very good.
Anybody have any questions from last night? Everybody understood what happened, right?
No.
No.
Hey, I have a really awful question. You had a fog machine going in there?
Yeah.
Is that fog machine at all bad for your lungs?
No.
What if it's along with a lot of smoke in the room and you're running
fog? That's not good for your lungs. Sorry if you're on incense, because that incense for you perusing last night, sage, it's got a very high methylated content, and that incense, you can breathe that stuff when it's dense, and it'll clear your lungs out.
Okay.
It's very good for you. But you don't want tobacco smoke. Tobacco smoke and fog machine, that's a water-based fog machine. It doesn't leave a residue.
So can you tell me, is that doing a lot of damaging things to a lot of people when they're in that atmosphere?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they use those fog machines with oil base and tobacco smoke, yes.
What about water-based and tobacco smoke?
No, tobacco smoke isn't good at all.
But doesn't that... The fine particles of that fog machine, doesn't it make it go into your lungs even more?
It helps, yeah, because it carries it. What it does is the nicotine binds itself up to the molecule of the fog, and CO2 or whatever you use. You know, why do you breathe a lot of smoke and do a lot of fog?
Yeah, I called OSHA up and asked them about this machine that's going in the workplace that I'm in, because I got a bad infection. And people were just getting sick left and right around me, and I'm sure it was that fog machine.
Yeah. What kind of fog machine is it?
I don't know, but it does have a warning label on it that says it's not supposed to be directed into an audience, and it's right on dancers, so...
Well, no, that's not good. You got to be careful with those things. You know, they should use incense like we do. Mm-hmm.
Is it like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do that too much. I had a bigger fog machine before. That one was a new one.
Mm-hmm.
I like my other one better because it put out more fog.
Okay.
How many milliwatts are you running with those lasers?
There was 5 milliwatt lasers. There was 90 milliwatt lasers. And there was 6 watt lasers.
The violet was 6 watt?
No, the violet one is 25 milliwatt. The one downstairs.
What is the reason for the tremendous size of the device?
What?
The violet
laser?
Yeah.
Helium cadmium, and it has a gas management system. Helium cadmium is a very difficult gas to maintain, and has to have these reservoirs, and it has to pump it back and forth.
So it takes a pretty good size machine. Those violet lasers are the ultimate in lasers. I mean, that's the one to get if you can find one. I get them surplus, and we sell them for $2,250 when we can get them. There aren't any right now. I'm supposed to get two yet Friday, but I don't know if they got them in or not. They cost about $10,000 new. So, and what goes wrong with them is the tube fails on them. So the tube costs $5,000 to repair. So if you get a surplus one, the tube is bad, and it's worth $100, you know. So we get them used with a good tube, we sell them at a good price. There's always a waiting line for those. We've got people waiting for them right now because they only come up surplus. And they're very delicate. If you drop them or you bang them, you destroy the tube. They're difficult to ship, but the reward is what they do to your system, your consciousness. I mean, that thing, if you look at that every night, you come home from wherever you've been, put that on the crystal, that violet, for a few minutes, and just sit there for 10 minutes, you're clean. You're in another space, you know. Those big, the green ones are very popular. They get five colors. That one machine I had, a big blue machine on the floor, belongs to George Winston. He's a musician. We built that for him, for his system, but that's a rainbow generator. I don't know if you notice, it puts out seven colors. We use a red laser and a five-color laser. And then we have a scanner. That thing that was making the designs, we have another type, much more complex than that, which we didn't use last night, that we sell. It's a little scanner. And we hook that onto the different lasers. And you scan the fire star, you can scan the room, you can scan the system with it. We have our own scanner line. Then we have another type of laser that hooks into the computer for programming systems that only programs a beam down into a crystal inside the system, like a master crystal. And then we've got yellow lasers, we've got orange lasers, red ones. And we've got red lasers all the way up to the size we've got. We didn't have any big ones on last night. We've got them up to 40 milliwatts in red, which is very bright. Highly recommended for master crystal work. And then we have, we sell those lasers like the big one that I have there, but they come up maybe once a year. A real buy on one of those will come up where you can, it's affordable. They sell, that big laser costs $45,000 and new. And that one was almost new. And we get a hold of them, we're able to sell them between 6,000 and 8,000 used. You know, usually with a full year warranty on the thing, too. So we have a really big laser business, and we ship all over the world. And thank God, I work with all these laser manufacturers when I own an electronics company. So Mel Griet was in a little building about half the size of this room when I used to sell oscilloscopes. And now, Michael Dorick, who's the founder of it, the president, you know, I get tremendous deals on those red lasers, those small ones. We sell them way under retail price, brand new. And,
how does that differ from the laser
company now?
Huh? Laser pointing devices.
Lasers are light emitting diodes. They're just like a flashlight device, like a transistor. And the lasers that we have are full-on lasers that you pump with white light, like I was showing here yesterday. Different system. The flashlight doesn't have any power. They're handy for pointers, though. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a red laser at my place, and would it be beneficial for me to get a different color?
Yeah, you should have. You should get green is the next one, and then later on gold or orange. Right now, there's no gold ones available, but we have orange.
Do you have any green ones available right now?
I think so. I think we've got one in stock. Yeah. We can get them overnight.
What does the green do that the red doesn't do?
The red works through the with the pituitary body, pineal gland. The green works through the thyroid, the hydrogen atom. What you're doing with any laser, the same thing as when you muscle test, is you're pumping up the hydrogen atom. But when you use a laser in the system, you're pumping up the hydrogen atom in the whole system. So it's like, this is the component technology we were talking about yesterday. Now we're in systems. Systems is an entire alignment. Components clears your body and gets you ready to receive the energy, and the system transforms your DNA. It transforms your axons, your neurons. It starts you kundalini, in the kundalini mode. So it's forced kundalini when you get in the system.
So it's best to look at it, then.
Yeah. You see that one was up there I showed you guys, that was way up high with the three lasers going into it? That's every night. You come home, as soon as the sun sets, that one goes on, okay? That's the champagne reflector. And then when 9 o'clock comes, there's another key period at night. Boom, the green one comes on, the red one stays on, and at midnight the gold one comes on. And it runs till 3 o'clock in the morning and it cycles itself backwards down again. So sunrise, the red one is shutting off just when the sun's coming up. And that energy is what breaks down these veils that I was telling you about. Yeah. I can show you how, I'll see how susceptible you are to those.
Why don't you tell me what rock to put in there? What quartz rock to put in there?
There.
Huh? How do you determine what rock to put in there?
What do you mean rock? Stones?
Yeah.
Local stones off the ground, whatever is local. My system, I don't know if you guys all see that drawing on the new book I'm working on where it showed the vortex coming out of the volcano. There's a gold mine under our house with my, you know, 3 ounces per ton. It's very rich in gold. That system is in a vortex, and we've gone all over the world, and we picked stones, you know, rocks from other vortexes, like in Sedona, Greece, you know, all over the place, South America. And so all those stones from all these vortexes are in our system. Pieces from the pyramid, all that's in there, you know. And there's even 7 of these inside the Great Pyramid in Egypt, sending energy out of the pyramid into these that you wear. We're well networked. And that other piece, that Omnion that you saw, was hanging there, that's got gemstones from 50 countries in it. Every gemstone you can practically name is one of those in the Omnion. There's only 3 of those in the world named like that. And they're all in different parts of the world. So that system is a little bit unique. Now, this is what I'm talking about, the illusion, second ether. If you're working properly, what you should see on there is 3 Pac-Men and 3 triangles. You should not see a pyramid in the middle. If you see a white pyramid in the middle, then you're programmed into the build, what I call a billboard of consciousness, you know. So you can stare at that. And the champagne reflector, when you use it, glass at something like that, you'll see it for what it is, not what it appears to be. And it changes your consciousness that way, too. It opens up a doorway into the astral plane. It's very pure. Can some of you see the pyramid and then get rid of it? Just look at it for a few minutes. And so that's real interesting. It's called a Kinesia Triangle. It's not a popular science. Not popular science. Scientific American. It's an article on that. When the Pleiadians gave me the idea for the champagne reflector, it was real interesting. We were living in Germany in a lake. It was a town called Hershey, Lake Ammersee Lake, and it's a big, long, narrow lake. It's about 10 or 12 miles long and only maybe a mile and a half wide. We lived right in the middle of it, on the shore, right at the shore. And we look out across the lake, you know, one night, and the moon was coming up on the other side of the lake. And this is like Bavaria, you know, we're talking some tradition here, you know, the feudal system that goes way back. And in the middle of the lake was a giant screen. It's like being in a drive-in theater. And this giant screen appeared with all this fog, the way the fog was. It was just in the middle of the lake. The fog was probably 500 feet high, but it was the entire length of the lake. And I was on one side of the screen, and the moon was on the other. And so I could see the screen out there. And all of a sudden, coming across the lake, the middle of the lake, was this whole army of knights with these lances and spears and these flags, the kind of flags that go out like that, and then they go back, and then they go out like that. And they had these hats, these high hats, and these streamers on them. And probably an army from 500-600 years ago crossing the lake, riding these horses with these big lances, and all beautifully cast up against the screen. And Rockwell was sleeping. I was sitting out on the porch, and I said, "Holy shit, look at that. You know, these horses, these riders are riding right across the center of the lake." You know, it was amazing. Anyway, the clarity of what I saw, the way it reflected off the moonlight, I was blown away by that. And then Sumyasi came and said that was a second ether experience, and this is an enactment on a higher karma level of something that happened in the past. And this is, she says, this happens a lot, but you can't see it because once in a while the conditions are right astrologically, you know. And we had our apartment was a condominium over there, and Rapido and Elendin with her for about a year, and she wasn't really into these big pyramids. And just that very day, we'd had this big fight about putting this giant pyramid up in the living room, just the only place we could fit it. I says, once it's up there, you won't take the thing down. But I don't want it up there. It's big, and it takes up, and, you know, we got a small place here, and blah, blah, blah. I said, it's going up. So we put it up, and she loved it. She says, no, we can't take it down. Now you see what you mean. So it was that very day that we put this big pyramid up in this thing and set it all up like that. This happened at night. Really interesting, you know, those kinds of experiences. And there's always another one coming, too. You never know. They never end. You know. Sleeping in a pyramid like that, I don't know how you could not sleep in a pyramid like that once you have, because of the protection that it gives you. It takes 90 days to get used to it, because you'll go through a healing crisis. You'll be getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, detoxing continuously. It's hell for some people. It was for me, because I was one of the most toxic, sickest persons on the planet. You know, I was born with polio, had a sunken chest. I had pneumonia practically every year of my life. So I went through a lot to get where now I don't even get a runny. I haven't had a runny nose in 2.5 years now. But it took me half my life to figure out how to, you know, still cheat and screw around a little bit with yourself, but at the same time maintain a semblance of health. And so the pyramid is one of the greatest things for that. And of course the lasers go with it. Also, last night you might have seen right above the birdcage that big giant looking thing called a Devastar. Anytime you use a system, you need one of these, either a Star Orb or a Devastar. And remember how we did the muscle testing with the pyramid yesterday? Female energy weak, male energy strong. Well, this, these are stainless steel wires, and stainless steel absorbs energy. For example, you would never make a stainless steel pyramid. You try it, and it robs your energy. Just titanium gives you energy, stainless, it'll take it away from you. And this device captures ELF waves and brings them in to this periphery in here. And these tops, when you put something on the top, like we used to make these therapy tables where we had rows of pyramids, tie all these together, and then stack them. And people would lay on the top and get acupuncture treatments. So these tables are around in different places in the world. And we found that when you hook up a wire to this pyramid, the same energy that's inside, well, you could stick it over here and it would end up over there. It would transmit down there. In other words, if you put, say, sour cream in here, or milk, with a lot of cream in it, it'll turn into cheese, because the pyramid will allow it to evaporate without any aerobic bacteria or anaerobic bacteria interfering with it, so it won't decay. But the same way, if you took the cheese over here and set it in a cup and ran a wire over and stuck it in the cheese, of the milk, it would still turn to cheese because the energy would be transmitted over there. So with that in mind, we do the radiators. But at the same time, when you do this to the pyramid, the energy that would normally come off the top is now going down the bottom. So you're sending the top energy down inside. And in the case of one of those, we're sending it out the front. And so when you have them all these are canceling. So everything in this device is canceling itself. It regards to what energy field that comes into it. If it's not very positive for your body, it'll cancel, and that's what this does. So what you do is you have your house, if you have a room like this, and then say on one side of the room you got a lamp, and then maybe over here you got a TV set, okay? Then you have a bunch of plugs like this, a whole row of plugs on one side like this, and a whole row of plugs on the other side. So the TV is on this row of plugs and the lamp's on that row. So what you do is you turn all the appliances on, you go down to your breaker box, wherever that is in your house, or your fuse box, and you pop the fuse breaker. Maybe this fuse here is A, will blow this circuit out, and this will stay on. Then you go over to B, and then that circuit will go out. Okay, so you got A and B, so you got two circuits. So that means to make yourself safe in this room, what you have to do is run it. I don't know if you notice or not, but did you notice that big thing that was in the bird room? There's little wires coming off of it. Okay, one string of wires went into the kitchen and hooked onto the refrigerator, because refrigerators are a very big source of noise and pollution, static pollution. So it was hooked to the refrigerator. And also in the kitchen, several of these. And then in the room where the big lasers are, there's wall plugs in there. That's a circuit, and there was wires going into those wall plugs. So all these plugs were now the center wire, not the vertical wire, the little round ones. These are wired together, so it makes a common ground, okay? Then you hang this thing, you run a wire after this device here, you run usually up the wall here, you run and hook all that ground to this. So all that grounding energy, all that ELF and all that stuff goes into this. Then you take another wire from this, run it outside the house, and down into the ground, and put an iron or copper pole stake and ground it out that way. And that's what you have to do.
Put it in the ground and the wall?
Huh?
Can't you just put it in the ground and the wall?
No, because the ground and the wall is carrying the bad energy.
Oh, it is?
Because
I have mine in my ground and my wall.
No, you want to plug it in the ground, in the wall and the ground.
Well, so I need to splice the wire then.
Yeah, and you need to take another wire and take it from your thing in the house and run it outside the window. If you're way up in a high-rise apartment or something, use a water pipe. That's the second best thing. Bring everything to this to a water pipe. Now, they have... What happened to your big Devastar you have here? Is it?
I got out in the meeting
room. Oh, okay. We got a bigger size of it. A big place like this needs a bigger one. And so they have one here in this building, but it's in the other room. It's a great big giant one. We have different size ones for different applications.
When you hook it to the refrigerator, how do you do that? Where do you put the wire to?
Oh, anywhere it's metal. You know, I hook mine to that.
You can tape it to the refrigerator?
Well, make sure you got a connection, electrical connection. You don't want to hook it to the enamel. You want to hook it to the back somewhere where there's a raw, like a screw, you know, sticking out. Hole, there's usually a hole somewhere. You tie it through the hole. You know, and make sure the wire is there. Mm-hmm. You know, grounding is very important with all these systems. If the system becomes ungrounded, you'll become ungrounded real quick. It'll really flip you out. You're dizzy, fainting spells, it can make you real sick, you know. If you run a lot of energy through it, it'll come backwards. So grounding is very important. And this device is probably one of the least expensive systems things that we have. And even if you don't get anything else in the system, you should have at least one of these things. These are very handy. These are excellent. I have a couple, two or three of these in the house, but they're very good ones, you know. And just do a room at a time, and you'll notice the difference. You don't have to do your whole house. Just do one room, one that you're in. And,
what you're saying is what if your electrical system is grounded properly?
What do you mean, in the ground?
I wire my house. And the ground wire goes to my well, and the ground wire goes to a pool grid.
If you got it grounded properly, then all you need to do is hook this.
My ground is I got like another tube going to my well, just put down.
Yeah.
Iron put down 40 feet.
Yeah. Then what you want to do is just hook this into your ground system.
This ground.
Yeah. And then the whole thing.
I better know my ground is good.
Yeah. Let me explain something about ELF. How it. You trying to turn it off? Go ahead. Yeah. Push that button up on the top there. Yeah. So, you want to see, you know, when with ELF generators, there's one down in Sydney, Australia, and this wire goes 2 miles down the ground into a well shaft. And schematically, if you were to look at a power station, you got this is brown here. Then you got a transformer, which is brown, and you only have to carry one high tension wire, you know. And then you get over here, it's one high tension wire, comes to another transformer, it then goes back into ground, and then it has another side of the transformer, and these two wires then go into your house. But they're only carrying ground through ground, you know what I mean? That's how it's done. So ELF generators generate down into the ground these high frequencies, and these high frequencies skid along on the surface of the wire. They're not in the wire. So when you get ELF in your house, ELF is affecting. I'll show you what it does real quick. I just remember, I didn't show you that yesterday. When you digest your food, okay, you have to have 8 essential amino acids. Why do you have to have 8 essential amino acids? These are all right spin. Why is that? This is inside your body now, the DNA level. Why do you need 8 of them? Why can't you have 7 or 12? Anybody know?
There are 20 amino acids.
There's 20 amino acids, but you need 8 essential ones.
but there's the body.
Yeah, well, the reason you need them is the summation frequency of 3.58 megahertz. That's why you need them. If the frequency, the vibratory frequency of the DNA, if it doesn't reach 3.58, you can't assimilate anything, okay? So then, what happens is, here comes the old tomato with the arsenic on it, right? Left spin now, that's why everything is always left spin. So this could be any protein molecule, anything. So what happens is, as soon as this gets in, this transmits at 3.58 megahertz, which is now called messenger RNA signal, okay, which is a viral signal, the virus. Boom, it goes over here, and it looks at this, it scans this tomato that you just ate, but there's typically a lot of arsenic and stuff on it. Then what happens is, if the tomato's okay, it will then disconnect a section of it, and through the action of chromium, which is a reflective mineral, bring this over. Now it's transfer RNA, and we'll bring this over here and connect it to this DNA ladder, if everything is proper, okay? But what it is everything is not proper. So, but still the body does this. It's like a sonar, like a bat flies, the same principle, it's the same frequency of these. So this is not working right. So what happens is, why isn't this working right? Because ELF comes in here and blocks this. ELF comes in here and tricks this protein assimilation process, and it brings the poison around. And even though the poison that's sitting over here is a right spin, and this was a left spin, it doesn't care. It brings everything over and makes it bind up. So you end up with right spin over here and left spin over here. Left spin on this side is poison. Left spin on this side is healthy. It's like looking at yourself in a mirror. It's a transfer that has to take place. And that's where consciousness assimilates something from the real world. Yeah.
I actually have a startle with it grounded.
Yeah.
But I have something from Expo I bought 2 years back. It's supposed to be a Tesla coil.
Yeah.
And what I've done is I take my computers and where everything's plugged in, and they're supposed to put that coil right on the wire. And I wonder if that, I'm doing the same thing. It's supposed to affect the spin, so it goes the other way.
Well, yeah, that's the effect. I don't have to see it. There's a lot of devices that are out there. Some of them work and some of them don't. So this is what's really important. But why is this important? Why can't you just go on in life and let this, like right spin on this side is chiari, strychnine, cyanide, that's what it is, arsenic. But why is this process so critical? Why does Russia, for example, the KGB, they attacked the U.S. one time in a magazine, Pravda magazine, saying, and that damn CIA sends these horrible waves to affect the psychological consciousness of our populace, they said. And it was in 1978 that we discovered ELF on the grid wires of the American embassy in Moscow. I mean, like, what a grip, you know, on what's going on. But why do they do this? Does anybody know? If you remember yesterday, you can tell me.
It unravels.
No, but why do you do this to people? What is the effect? You know?
Shortens their lifespan.
How? Or does it? Like, there's a better answer. Remember that chart I drew on there yesterday? What's this first box?
What?
No. Minerals. And minerals control what percent of your body? 95%. Right? And then what comes after minerals?
Enzymes.
We talked about the hydrogen atom. And we also forgot to tell you that the hydrogen atom, if you're used to getting up in the morning at a certain time and polarizing that way, changing your consciousness, if you get on a plane and go somewhere, that throws that up. And jet lag is a misadaption of the hydrogen atom. It has to re-identify itself. Enzymes, then what came next?
Vitamins.
Okay, vitamins. And then what came next?
Protein,
right. And what were we talking about over here? Protein, right? So if I screw it up on this level, what's going to happen here? And what's going to happen here?
Hormones.
Yeah, they're going to affect this, right. And what's it going to do? What are the hormones? First, doing the biochemistry that possess consciousness, right? So what's going to do? If you screw it up here, what's happening to your consciousness down here? See, that's why you need to get rid of ELF. And it's one of the most dangerous things there is. There's a book by Rosenthal and Eisenbud written on the Russian studies that you can get. I had it at home, but I forget the name of the publisher. But I have this book, and you can buy it at the Bodhi Tree, and it talks about all the tests that the Russians did on humans, the ELF frequencies, and how destructive they are.
They had it yesterday night on Discovery Channel.
Did they?
An hour special.
Yeah, it's very, very real. It's very important. It's very important because, see, when you have the ground the way they do it,
the ground wire in your house, you think it's ground. Yeah, it's ground.
It's electrically ground. It's grounding out. You know, if you plug your stereo and you're not going to hear in the speakers. But ELF don't work that way. ELF is skimming along the top of those ground wires. So now you need to get, you need to grab that skim and ground that off. So it's like a filter. You got to grab this energy, filter it, and send it back to the ground. But first of all, you got to do like he did and get all your grounds together. Because it'll come dancing along this ground. You ground that one out, it's dancing on the other side of the room. See? So you got to get all the grounds. Some people, if your house is right, you go down into your circuit box, you find a common ground for everything, and then you can ground it that way, but it has to be done.
It has to be done. I want to ask you about that. They showed a device to interview the pastor of the KGB.
Yeah.
It trapped psychic powers
and
was transportable, and they could release it and direct it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was some of my work originally. The very first one of those we ever made and marketed, the KGB came right over here and bought it instantly. Oh, yeah. And up at Aspen, years ago, the ski school up there, they used these irradiators and made all their new students wear these, and they wouldn't have accidents. It would eliminate the psychic tension that causes you to have an accident. Because an accident, when you fall out of skiing, is just some kind of fear. You eliminate the fear. Oh, yeah. The next. In this Mercedes convertible. So he was on my doorstep with his reporter who's following me around in the house. And they finally, both two of the Federales and the Lamont guy got me in the Bonaventure Hotel in the basement doing a lecture down there. They hit me at the same time, you know. And this is out there. And this is back in the early days, you know. Another incident that was really cute was in 1978. We were, in those days, I remember very well, gold was $135 an ounce. So the pyridome, we didn't have the titanium pyramids in those days. The pyridome, which was just a steel wire and a gold plate on it, and then we had the fire dome, which was a steel wire and a gold plate and silver over that. I mean, copper over that, and then the ray dome, which was the same with the silver over it. That's all we had. And it was the whole set was $39.95. It was $9.95 for the whole thing. That's how cheap the stuff was. This is back in 78, the whole set. You know, for the first year when we designed the gold pyramid, I was 5 house payments behind because I didn't figure I'd sold my electronics company, I'd spent all my money, I'd retired for 10 years. I was 5 house payments behind, and I came out with this gold pyramid, you know, because we found it would put you in an alpha state from our clinic, and we started selling it. And I started wearing it. And pretty soon we're on TV, you know, the first week that we come out with these pyramids, it's all product we had in those days, one pyramid. And the market we ended up with was the Valium market, because the biggest drug addict in those days was the American housewife strung out on Valium. That was before the days of cocaine in the 80s, so. And pot had already been precedent from the 60s, so. I was up there at this hotel, and there was this little, very attractive, younger housewife looking woman was there, a blonde, blue eyed, really very pretty actually. I was just playing, I had a suit and tie, I used to wear a suit and tie and very short hair in those days, pretty straight. And I'm wearing a pyramid and the National Health Federation, we're at the Portland Hilton, and half of the people in there wearing suits, the pyramid's on, and this lady is just like, what in the hell is this shit, you know? And she just kept coming back to our booth and staring at it, and then like, not knowing, I could just read her mind. What the hell are these people doing? She'd go away, but she'd come back again, and she couldn't go away. She just could not go away. And so after about half a day of this, I says, come over here, you know. Get this pyramid on your head right now. Don't put this off anymore. She slapped a pyramid on her head. She's walking around. She says, I think I'll take all three of these. And she took all three of the pyramids and instantly left the place. I never saw her again. I didn't hear about her until a few years later when she started writing these books. And she started channeling. So she took the pyramids home and she started channeling this old warrior. That, you know, this 500-year-old warrior. And his name was Rampa. And then the first thing she finally did is attribute that her change of consciousness. The person had no idea about metaphysics. Suddenly it became, you know, a Rampa channel. And her name is J.C. Knight. So it's like, I've seen some amazing things. I got a call one time, 2 o'clock in the morning. From Sky Lewis, from the Wilton School, not Wilton, but the Arcot Union School System in San Luis Obispo. This was in 1978, a testimonial in my book, Death of Ignorance. And he says, we had this kid named Stan Alms, and he was a grand mal patient all his life. He's 9 years old. He was dyslexic. And he's had this pyramid on for a month now, and he hasn't had a seizure in 2 weeks, and he's reading from left to right like he's supposed to now. We think the pyramid is responsible, and it was, because it created electricity in the brain so that the lithium therapy and the mineral therapy that they give him, the drug-laced mineral, would work. And he never had a seizure after that. So I had the same thing with cocaine babies and seizures. Three-month-old kids, we put these grid systems over their cradles and stuff. So we had a hell of a lot of medical exposure. And I used to do the college lecture circuit. And there's my pyramids are, my God, they're all over the world. NASA used them. And like I said, they were in the McMartin pre-trial case. I mean, that right on television that other night, see, they were talking about wearing the pyramids, you know. Because they tried to say that if you wore the pyramid, you were a child abuser, you know, but that didn't work. Everybody just laughed at that. That's the way the prosecution, but the defense, you know, they stuck it right up in the other way, and suddenly the pyramid, everybody in the courtroom wanted to have a pyramid on their head, you know. I mean, these things have been around.
Does it help to put a crystal in this? If I put a crystal in this, pointing down, would it accentuate it?
No, it doesn't really matter. You don't really need to. You know, the way we developed the radome, the silver one, was back in the 70s from a guy named Lawrence Kennedy. His son was, we had Uri Geller, Lawrence Kennedy, and Chris Kennedy. And Chris used to do these psychic explosions. He could walk into a room and every piece of silverware and every metal pan would just explode and bend and crinkle up just from his energy. So we began to research that and we found that we could teach people how to use that energy. So we used to have in Lake Tahoe, we had a big house up there, and we trained people how to do spoon bending and metal bending with their mind. And everybody was required to wear a pyramid. And the ones in the beginning that didn't wear a pyramid, we got an 80% success rate. And then we started going 100% with the pyramids on it. We made it mandatory, and then we had 100% success rate with that, with the kinesiology stuff that we used to do. The Russians really jumped on my work, but now they're doing, you know, they're doing their own thing. The last skirmish I had with them was really fun because, did you notice those paintings in my house last night, the one over the fireplace?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those paintings I did years ago when I first became a contactee. As a matter of fact, a lot of those paintings I did before I was a contactee, you know, because it was starting to happen. This transfer of energy was happening. And I was a NASA scientist and engineer, and then when I left the aerospace industry, you know, I had reached a tremendous level of fame. I was in, you know, they have their own publications, they have electronic news, and these magazines that go nationwide. I've been like on the front cover of it, and I was very controversial, but always discovering and making things happen. I was good at marketing. I was the one that started all the, you know, if you go to Radio Shack, you see electronic voltmeters, you'll see oscilloscopes, B&K, all that stuff. I was the one that brought all that to this country. I brought all the Japanese equipment, test equipment in that field over here. I was the first one to do it because the Americans were so strong. Like people like Tektronix, all these companies were just, Japanese couldn't get in here. And I said, wait a minute, these people got better equipment. Let's go for expertise and technology in the hell of the goddamn American system. Their stuff's junk. And I brought it in and went to these conventions, and I launched this whole field, a mega million dollar field when I was younger, because that's what I used to do. But I did it with expertise. When I was a consultant after I left NASA, I have at home in my own diaries the names and addresses of 2,000 American companies, and in each company 100 different engineers and scientists that I personally worked with. So I had been in the beginning of the 70s in every defense plant, every IBM plant, every computer plant in the United States and some in Canada, every single major plant, EG&G in Las Vegas, Los Alamos, all over in underground places in Texas, all those we used to go up to Alma, what was the name of that damn place? It was right outside of Austin, way out in the middle of nowhere. And I used to go in there in these bunkers, where nuclear bombs were an instrument, these things that babysitted these bombs, you know. I used to go into IBM plants. And way back on the East Coast, I used to go to Bell Telephone, Murray Hill, working with all these things, because my job was an instrumentation engineer. So I worked on psychic experiments, I worked on moon landing, space simulators, nuclear generators, computers, ILS contracts with high-tech lasers, Star Wars. I worked on everything, and I had a hell of a resume, so I was very famous when I got into this. And I had to leave all that behind, and everybody thought I was crazy, because one day I said, you know, I'm just tired of this shit. I'm at the top. I can do whatever I want, and I don't want to do any of it anymore. And I just walked away, you know. I walked away, got myself a hit of acid, took an acid trip for a year, and then realized that other things and started studying with Tibetan masters and started another life. You know, and that's what I've done since then. It's amazing. But been having that background and bringing, you know, having that marketing background, when I got into this field, naturally everybody was watching me and science was watching me. So pyramid technology and the stuff that we do is very much in a lot of these big companies now. I mean, sound systems have been developed using the technology because we showed that the best speaker is a pyramid. It's exponentially perfect for the human ear if you make a speaker cone in the shape of a pyramid. And then I started getting into time travel stuff. We started compressing the pyramid down to a flat shape. It was called planar, exponential planar science. And I forget, the IBM started getting into that, and what we do is put this flat pyramid in a carbon, nitrogen, liquid nitrogen environment, and you could now receive signals from the astral plane, energies from the spiritual world. We started doing stuff like that. I've got articles on it. I've got a piece of some of that equipment even at home. But this is where I had gone. This is way back in the 70s. You know, this is the 90s now. Can you imagine where we are now? You know, and we've made tremendous jumps in the technology, but to express that technology to people, you know, I built a time machine here in Laguna in 1981, which I had here for 5 years, which was a giant Wilson cloud chamber that you would go inside and experience, you know, zero time. We've done a lot of interesting things, and this systems technology that we're playing with now, it looks simple on the outside, but it goes very deep. It gets very heavy when you really start getting a hold of it and start working with the energy, you know, it becomes your life. I mean, it's a pleasant way, but it keeps you away from all this. It keeps you away from the negative things that go on that you read about people in the paper and all that. You're somehow or other protected from all of that all the time. So it's really amazing.
Anyway, let's go on to another slide here. We talked about the Star Orb. Now, I think the next thing to do is to do this meditation now, if I can get the music on. Put that galactic meditation on. Now what I want to do is I'll show you a slide first. In 7, there was an airplane flying from the Homeotronic Laboratories Newport News, in the Cumberland Valley. The Navy base back there. You know, all this secret psychic work that goes on in research is financed by the Naval Bureau of Ships. I don't know if you know that or not. When Bob Lazar came forward and claimed that he'd been in Area 51, and the government tried to deny it, when they looked at his W-2 form, it was the Naval Bureau of Intelligence, and it was did show that, in fact, he did work there. It was just to try to cover up, because he was releasing the information, you know. So they're the ones, the Navy, believe it or not, is the most powerful military group around. And what I'm going to do now, anyway, this plane was taking pictures over the Cumberland Mountain.
That's the end of that. We'll finish that up next Saturday night. There's quite a bit more to go. So hope you're enjoying it. And we'll see you next Thursday night at 5 o'clock. Remember, the times have changed. Thank you.